Hey everyone, this is Wes from the Console Gaming Crew, and we couldn't be happier to announce that we are now part of the Boss Rush Podcast Network and are featured on BossRushGames.com. BossRushGames.com is a great place where you can find up-to-date news articles, blogs, and podcasts about video games. In addition to that, there is a growing collection of podcasts in not just the gaming community, but other communities as well. We are honored to be a part of such a great network of podcasters, so please stop by and give everyone a listen. Thank you. And enjoy the show. Yo, crew members, what it be?
Hello.
What the fuck?
Hi.
The fuck was
Hi.
I don't know.
That was the most awkward thing I've ever heard.
Holy moly, after, 3 weeks of attempts, we are finally here to deliver the episode we said we were going to deliver, right?
Don't you have yes. a thing for that?
Not on this. I mean, when we're all together and streaming,
balls.
Or whatever. Yeah,
but So we had worked our way.
And I already don't like the title of this thing. CTHNES. No, the mother of all. The mother. You should name this the mother. The mother.
The mothership.
The mothership. I like it. That's the name mothership. Of the Wes. Don't fucking text me later and ask him for an episode. There it is. The mothership.
CTH, the mothership.
Yeah, because this is where it started, baby.
Yeah, we worked our way through all the way from the brown box is where we started. Just giving a little, just a little recap for people. Yeah, we started with the brown box and worked our way all the way up now to, I think the last one we did was.
Don't, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's in the past. Now we're moving towards the future. Atari. God.
I love how we're moving to the future and we're in 1983.
Yes, so, yes, we are.
But considering we started in 1967.
God, I fucking feel bad for those people.
Pretty significant jump. And that brings us to 1983 to the NES, baby.
Hey, first off, time out. Were any of us born?
In 83. Wes?
Wes is like 45. Shut the fuck up. He was born. We weren't. Don't let him fool none of y'all.
Nope, I don't even believe I was a thought yet.
I mean, y'all can absolutely suck a dick, but no, I wasn't born then.
No, you're old as fuck.
No.
You're old as fuck.
So, all the way back, yes, in 1983, we have the Nintendo Entertainment System. Before we really get into that system, Wes, why don't you just, because we always seem to forget and try to blow through it, why don't you tell us some of the shit that was going on in 1983?
Wesley was born.
1983,
So, in 1983, something awesome happened for, I mean, in this area, at least Philadelphia 76ers won NBA World
born.
Title
yeah.
against Touché. The LA Lakers. They won the series 4-2.
We will hold that one dearly because probably die before another one happens.
That was, 1983 was pretty, I mean, look, the 80s were pretty much the the decade of Michael Jackson, but definitely the year was 83. Billie Jean beat it. Like, I mean, dude, everything off of everything off of that album, man. Let's Dance from David Bowie. You had Every Breath You Take by The Police, which is actually a terrifying song if you read the lyrics.
Yeah. It's still on my phone, though.
Oh, man. So we had Flashdance came out in 1983. Ooh. You had High Road to China, Jaws 3D, and Michael Keaton in Mr. Mom.
Have you ever seen that movie?
That was a good movie.
Okay.
It was a good movie.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't want to be the only one. I mean, Wes was born that year, so he should have probably seen it at some point.
He wouldn't know what it
I'm
was.
I'm just going to turn all this shit off. Get the fuck out of here.
It's okay.
Don't worry.
Some of the biggest shows that were around in 83, let me go ahead and just give you some of those. So we had the A-Team, Dynasty, Dallas, Magnum P.I.
Oh, my God. Magnum Pi, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. He's my idol, by the way, if you can't tell. Look at my upper lip.
Can't tell.
Mm.
Jaws 3D. What
I know. I'm thinking about that too. Like, right? I'm like, we're definitely past that, but still.
Like, do you just like go to the beach and that's Jaws 3D? You just get bit by a fucking shark.
Yes.
What the fuck was Jaws?
I enjoyed 3D? That one. I think that one was the one in Jamaica. You mean they were down in the Caribbean?
Did it still have what's his face?
Probably. I feel like he was in every one of them.
I don't know.
Wes, you said that was like your favorite one? So you were born before 1983, then? So you saw that? You saw that in theaters?
I didn't.
You old fuck.
I didn't see.
Who willingly watches Jaws 3D now?
Wes.
When did you?
Well, that's what I mean. There's no way.
He definitely was watching it right now.
Stop. Well, because you're doing the podcast right now. He definitely saw that in theaters in 1983. I thought he was born in 83. Fool me once, shame on you.
Drinking a Baba, watching some Jaws.
Fool me twice.
So anyway. Back to Nintendo. Release dates for this bad boy. This bad boy released in Japan July 15th of 1983. Didn't hit us here in North America until October 18th of 1985.
So hey, but what was it called in Japan?
The Famicom.
Yeah.
The Famicom, which, if you didn't know, is just short for family computer. But, anyway, so they had actually a much more decent run than I would have anticipated. Because did you have one that discontinued, Wes?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of so blew my mind, at so least
Famicom
for Japan.
Actually ran for 20 years. Like, yeah. Dude, I mean, it ran from, from 83 to 03. You know what I mean? And then you had the NES, you mean, that we got ran for 10 years. That ran from 85 to 95.
Like, just think about systems now. Like, the fact that in Japan, you could go into a store and buy an NES in 2003.
Yeah.
Is crazy, considering you probably can't even go to a store right now and buy a Wii. And that's only what, like 10 years old?
So, man, but I wonder, did the price stay where it was? Did it go up? Did it go down? Like, I'm curious about that.
We can look that up. I don't know. I mean, fuck, a 20-year difference. I mean.
Or did they just, because, so it says introductory price was 14,800 yen.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
So like, I wonder if they just kept it there. Yeah, because like, depending on what production cost was, I wonder if they just kept it there.
Yeah, so I mean, I know in 85 when we got the NES in the States, it was anywhere from 179 to 199, which equates to about $534 in today's money.
Correct.
Sure does.
Yep.
Sure does.
Yeah, and I think the one that you're talking about that was on the more expensive side, Wes, was actually the one that came with, because they did do a package deal for, I think, that price. It was $199, and it was the one that came with Super Mario, came with Duck Hunt, and the actual light gun, pretty sure, for the $199. Yeah, so, which is a decent deal back then. You think about it. You get two games, controllers, and a light gun. For fucking $200.
That's boss, man.
That's like little kid heaven.
and it's seriously funny. Well, now it's right. Funny because had we not done all of these other systems like the brown box and stuff leading up to here, we would have been saying that the light gun was, you know, the start of like those types of things for these systems. But there was one of the systems with a gun long before this.
It was the
gave way for the light gun.
It was the brown box. The brown box is actually the brown box had the it was a revolver pistol because of the one game that it it worked with. So there was one with the revolver pistol, and then there were others.
Wasn't there one with like a hunting rifle almost shit?
Oh, that was one of the lever action.
It was a lever action rifle, yeah. That also may have been the brown box. The brown box, if you look at it, really was, I hate saying it, but it was the pioneer for everything that had to do with the innovations and additional hardwares for video games, like, you know, like steering wheels and the controls like you would use on like a computer for like
infrared.
I was talking for like a, you know, for like a flight simulator.
Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff, it kind of like all started with the brown box, if you think about it. Which is absolutely insane.
So let's dive into a little bit of history on this thing, shall we? So I got most of my information off of Wikipedia. They got a lot of fucking information on there, so I'm not going to read all of it because I don't want to bore y'all motherfuckers to death. But here we go. So following a series of arcade game successes in the early 80s, Nintendo made plans to create a cartridge-based console called the Family Computer or Famicom. Now, remember, this is what their first foray since, I think they had one other system that we talked about.
We didn't talk about
possibly,
it. They had,
or we alluded to it possibly.
So they had a system before this in the 1980s. And it was actually
in the 1980s, you said.
Pretty sure, yeah. And it was successful. It was I'm pretty sure it was called the Color Arcade Game.
No, we have it right here. The and we did talk about it is the Nintendo Color TV game series.
That's it, Color TV.
We talked about that from TV 77 to 79. Yep.
Was I a part of that one? I don't remember talking about that.
You've been a part of every CTH, I'm pretty sure.
Hold on.
But yeah, so oh shit, I fucked that up. Anyway, so yeah. Since then, this was like 10, 12, 15 years, something like that. Anyway, so Masayuki Uemura designed the system. The console's hardware was largely based on arcade video games, particularly the hardware for Namco's Galaxian and Nintendo's Radarscope and Donkey Kong, with the goal of matching their powerful sprites and scrolling capabilities in a home system. Original plans called for an advanced 16-bit bit system, which would function as a full-fledged...
This man just said a 16-bit system. You thought I was going to... I had to cut him off.
Pardon
I don't
me.
Give a fuck.
16-bit... Pardon me, system, which would function as a full-fledged computer with a keyboard and floppy disk drive. But the Nintendo president, Hiroshi Yamauchi, rejected this and instead decided to go for a cheaper, more conventional cartridge-based console, as he believed that features such as keyboards and disks were intimidating to non-technophiles. And I think that was a phenomenal idea.
It was.
Because a test model was constructed in October of 1982 to verify the functionality of the hardware, after which work began on programming tools. Because 65XX CPUs had not been manufactured or sold in Japan up to that time, no cross-development software was available, and it had to be produced from scratch. So that's pretty fucking crazy. Now, code name for the project was GameCom, but leave it to the wifey to have a good idea. Oh, yeah, Masayuki Uemura's wife proposed the name Famicom, arguing that in Japan, Pasokan is used to mean personal computer, but it's neither a home or a personal computer, so she said, fuck that name and go with Famicom. Which is smart.
And she
wanted
won.
To be like a family computer. She won. Smart guy. Anthony's going to go over.
Anthony's going to go over the Zapper, which is the light gun.
No,
and
not
the NES.
Not the fucking Zapper. What the Famicom looked like. Oh. It was different from what we're used to with the.
That's true.
The gray and blue.
What did you say about blue?
Gray and blue. Or is it purple?
What?
Oh,
what?
No, I'm thinking of Super Nintendo.
Bro, you on the wrong gray system.
And,
our system is gray and black with a hint of
and
red.
Yeah, and some red. Yeah,
holy some red. Mother of God. Move your microwave. Microwave? Wes, Andy and I are going to sign off. You take over. Fucking hell.
Bro, move your microwave.
Is your mic the radiation's melting your brain, sir?
Mine as well. Holy fuck. So look. Well, that was fun. Jesus. People are probably like, wow, what kind of drugs are they doing?
Anyway, so what's this Famicom look like?
Jesus Christ.
Seen one?
It's white and red. Okay, so no left. That no, but literally, so the color scheme of the Famicom was white and red, and the color scheme of the NES was black, gray, and red. Also, the differences between the two systems is the Famicom had the cartridges were the same. The cartridges were top feed cartridge, and the controllers were actually fixed controllers instead of the actual removable controllers like the NES has. Again, we had in the US we had the VHS style cartridge system. Push it in, good old push it in, slam the lid, send her home, boys, play the games. Good to go.
Okay, good. So that's good for that. So the Famicom was heavily influenced by the ColecoVision, which we also talked about. The ColecoVision's top seller was a port of Nintendo's Donkey Kong, so of course this was heavily influenced. The project's chief manager brought a ColecoVision home to his family, impressed by its smooth graphics, which contrasts with the flicker and slowdown commonly seen on Atari 2600 games. Uemura said that the ColecoVision set the bar for the Famicom. They wanted to surpass it and match the more powerful Donkey Kong arcade hardware. They took a Donkey Kong arcade cabinet to a chip manufacturer for analysis, which led to producing the PPU chip for the NES. So that's pretty dope. So they literally took apart one of the Donkey Kong arcade units, which ended up, you know, giving them what they needed to create the chip for the NES. So that's pretty dope.
That is pretty cool.
The original plans for the Famicom, like Anthony said, it was top down. It was to be the size of a cassette tape, but ultimately they ended up being twice as big. Yeah, they definitely were not the size of cassette tapes, I will tell you that. The controllers, again, like he said, are hardwired to the console with no connectors for cost reasons. The controller designs were reused from Game & Watch machines, although the Famicom design team originally wanted to use arcade-style joysticks, even dismantling some from American game consoles to see how they worked. They did end up having those, didn't they? For NES? Like the big fucking, like the big pad with the joystick?
I mean, somebody might have modded it at some point.
I honestly don't remember.
I would have to look it up, but I think they did.
I just stumbled upon one of the craziest things I never knew about the NES, and I'm really excited to share this. Go ahead.
I'm really excited to hear it. So the console was released, like we said, July 15th, 1983, as the home cassette-type video game family computer with three ports of Nintendo's successful arcade games, Donkey Kong, Kong Jr., and Popeye. Nintendo also had its sights set on the North American market, thank goodness, entering into negotiations with Atari Inc. to release the Famicom under Atari's name as the Nintendo Advanced Video Gaming System. Isn't it always funny how they always try to make these long-ass names for these things, and they just dumb it down to one thing?
Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure no one ever wanted to be like, yo, dude, you want to come over to my house and play the Nintendo Advanced Video Gaming System? Nah, bro. The deal was set to be finalized and signed at the Summer Consumer Electronics Show in June of 1983. However, Atari discovered at the show that its competitor Coleco was illegally demonstrating its Coleco Atom computer with Nintendo's Donkey Kong game. This was a violation of Atari's exclusive license with Nintendo to publish the game for its own computer systems, delayed the implementation of Nintendo's game console, marketing the contract with Atari. What the heck? Atari CEO Ray Kasar was fired the next month. So the deal went nowhere, and Nintendo decided to market the system all on its own.
It was good they did that. You think about it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how it would have gone if they didn't.
Exactly. There might not be a Nintendo. Or,
so,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a nightmare with, you know, how they rolled it out. I'm pretty sure, actually, if we look it up, I'm pretty positive one of the very first, if not the first, commercial on television for the NES,
mm-hmm.
Paul Rudd's in it.
Yes.
I think
right.
He is.
Yeah. And he looks exactly the same because the motherfucker don't age.
He's a fucking vampire, right. Like for real.
Anyway, so subsequent plans for the Nintendo Advanced Video Gaming System likewise never materialized. A North American repackaged Famicom console featuring a keyboard, cassette data recorder, wireless joystick controller, and special basic cartridge. By the beginning of 1985, more than 2.5 million Famicom units have been sold in Japan, and Nintendo soon announced plans to release it in North America as the Advanced Video Entertainment System that year. Shockingly, the American video game press was skeptical that the console would have any success in the region. Thank fuck nobody listened to them.
Yeah.
As the industry was still recovering from the video game crash of 83, so I understand their hesitancy because that was a big thing, which we also did say that we would make an episode about at some point.
Yes.
So the Famicom hardware first made its North American debut in the arcades in the form of Nintendo Versus System in 1984. The system's success in arcades paved the way for the official release of the NES console. With U.S. retailers refusing to stock game consoles, Yamauchi realized there was still a market for video games in the arcade, so he decided to introduce the Famicom to North America through the arcade industry. That's a fucking slick way to go about it. You know people are spending time in arcades, put your fucking product out there, see how they take to it before you try to roll it out to the homes.
Yeah.
That's pretty legit. And what's super cool is that system became the highest grossing arcade machine, I believe, of all time.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, not at all. And we're pretty much at the end here. So at the 1985 Consumer Electronics Show, Nintendo unveiled the American version of the Famicom with a new case redesigned and featuring a zero insertion force cartridge slot. Sounds really fucking...
That is dirty as hell.
Right? Zero insertion force cartridge slot.
Means force it in as hard as you can after you blow on it.
Right? So just like Anthony said when he was describing the Famicom, it was a change from a top loader to a front loader. to make the console more like a video cassette recorder, which had grown in popularity by 85, and differentiate the unit from past video game consoles.
Yep.
Because I guess everyone in the past was top
down. A top game cartridge, yep.
Yeah. So, this was deployed as the Nintendo Entertainment System. Nintendo seeded these first systems to limited American test markets starting in New York City in October 18th of 1985 and followed up in LA in February of 86. The American nationwide release came on September 27th of 86 with 17 launch games, which I'm sure Wes has.
September what?
Absolutely do.
September 27th, 1986.
I'm going to tell my wife that her birthday is one of the most famous dates ever. It was the day the mothership landed in the U.S.
So, what games came with that bad boy?
All right. So, when it comes down to the games that we got for the NES, we had 10-Yard Fight, which is a football game. You had baseball. You had, let's see here, Clue Island. We had Donkey Kong Jr. Math, the big one that had to do with the little Zap Zap gun. You had Duck Hunt, one of my favorite games of all time, Excite Bike. And then you had
so
golf.
Good.
I loved Excite Bike. Fucking fantastic.
It's on the, whatchamacallit?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Okay. It's on Switch. Okay. Yeah. On the emulator. I know.
So good.
Trust
dude.
Me. I know. Woo, man. You have also golf, Gyromite, Hogan's Alley, Ice Climber, Kung Fu, Mach Rider, Pinball, Stack Up, Tennis, Wild Gunman, Wrecking Crew, and one of the biggest games of all time, Super Mario Brothers.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
I'm going to send y'all an article that was written about it. I think you guys will really like it.
Yeah, I'll take a read. Maybe I'll go back and it'll give me a desire to play it or something. I don't know.
Okay, cool. Yo, I appreciate you being open to it, man.
But when you do, make sure you have your glasses on because we don't want your old eyes to hurt Wes.
I got your glasses, I know.
So, excuse me. So, pretty slick and a lot of moving parts in how that thing finally landed here from essentially dismantling arcade machines to even get the hardware to make this thing.
That is some of the funniest to make shit it possible. Ever, dude.
It's pretty dope. The, you know, the lawsuit basically that led to the one dude being fired and Nintendo basically deciding to do it on their own.
Yeah, that dude wasn't fired and they went ahead.
Who knows?
With Atari. Knows Atari might be the big name in the U.S. and still be around as to where, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so we may be playing the Atari Switch right now.
Maybe. Or something of that sort. Yeah. So it's a good thing that things happened the way they did. It's crazy. Like,
and then and then talk about knowing your market and knowing that, you know, you just had the video game crash, but arcades still seem to be popular. So you roll out your systems in the arcades to see
what to do it, dude. That's
see what generates. Because I guess if they would have found out that nobody was playing their shit, it's like, okay, well, we'll just cut our losses and worry about this some other time. But
yeah,
so pretty dope.
I mean, look, if you're a company that's been around since the 1890s, you know what to do. You know what I mean? You know what to do to make money.
They're like, you know, this doesn't work. We'll just go back to making playing cards. Everyone still uses those.
Dude, that just still blows my mind how long Nintendo's been around.
Right? And most people do not know that, man. Started with fucking playing cards.
What? Fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
might I intercede real quick?
Intercede all you want, my guy.
So, we did put the question out on Twitter and Discord about what was everybody's favorite Nintendo game. What was your favorite NES game?
I hope someone said one of mine.
We had Celeste, you know what I mean? Boss Rush. She she said Track and Field 2 was one of her big ones.
I remember playing those in the arcade.
Yeah. Jack Bro, which is also another guy from Boss Rush, he said Mega Man 2 was one of his big ones.
So good. Those Mega Man games on NES are hard, bro. Hard.
Let's see. What else do I have? Because, like I said, I also put it on Discord. I mean, obviously, Mario Brothers is a pretty easy one that you'd expect. You know what I mean? Skyhawk, Punch-Out, Tecmo Bowl, the Mega Man games. You had, apparently you had a game called California Games.
Yeah.
And one game you literally played Hacky Sack.
Yeah, and
I did not know about this.
I believe there was someone who just made a fuckload of money on Pawn Stars, I think it was, that still had one of the California games shrink wrapped in the original box, and I think that's one of the hardest NES games to find right now.
Wow.
He may have had one of the last, if not the last remaining one that was still shrink wrapped.
Well, yeah, so that one, yeah, I mean, so that came from DCD, and I mean, I had a little bit of a conversation going on the Discord, you know, between Celeste, DCD, and Geek Bro. So, man, I'm like, look, Nintendo was one of my favorite systems of all time anyway. Super Mario Brothers 3 was my game. Dude, I talked about that on the very first episode, you know what I mean, which was 143 episodes ago.
Yeah, so I guess that is up there for you for your favorite game on the NES, I assume, if that's your favorite game of all time, I guess so.
Yeah.
What anything else?
Excitebike. Answer from that system. You know what I mean? Like,
He did Anthony just say that.
Yeah, dude. It was easily like one of my favorite games of all time.
Dude, for me, Adventure Island. Adventure Island, like a motherfucker. It was one of my favorite games ever. Started there. Blades of Steel.
Yes.
Blades of Steel, man.
Blades of Steel was incredible.
Oh my God.
It was incredible.
It was,
I remember, wasn't the Philadelphia team, weren't they dressed, they had like Eagles colors or some shit?
I believe so.
I believe they were green and white, or green and gray or whatever.
I believe
but
so.
But I mean, dude, it was like Kelly green. Like, dude,
you're obviously right about Super Mario Brothers 3. I mean, how the fuck can you go wrong there? Every Super Mario Brothers game, really. I mean, yeah. Super Mario Brothers 2 is still one of my favorites in the series because of how different it is. But and don't sleep on Duck Hunt. I mean, everyone wanted to shoot that stupid fucking dog at some point in their life. Like, laugh at me, motherfucker. Right?
Still do.
Fuck that thing.
But yeah, there's some fucking, man, talk about some of those fucking characters are still being rolled out in these damn Smash Brothers games. Yeah. Ice Climbers, they're in them.
Yeah, that's true.
Are in. I mean, everyone from the Mushroom Kingdom, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you got Pokemon. I mean, that was for Game Boy, but...
Yeah, but speaking of that fucking ugly shit-ass dog, did you have something you were going to talk about with that light gun? The Zapper? Is that what it's called? Zapper?
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually called the Zapper. It's called the NES Zapper, also known as the Video Shooting Series Light Gun in Japan.
I kind of like that one better.
It's an electronic light gun accessory for the NES and the Japanese Famicom. It was released in Japan for the Famicom on February 18th, 1984, and launched alongside the NES in North America in October of 1985. Now, this is all directly from Wikipedia. The Zapper used compatible NES games such as Duck Hunt, Wild Gunman, and Hogan's Alley. Its eternal optical sensor allows the player to point at the television and shoot at the game targets, such as the ducks, the clay pigeons, the cowboys, and the criminals.
Does it? Now, I swear there was no rhyme or reason to that thing. Sometimes I swear the game decided when I shot a duck.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Because you could hold it up against the fucking controller, or the controller up against the fucking TV, and it didn't work. You know how many times I fucking tried that as a kid? It was fucking depressing.
Yeah.
And you know how many times I wanted to just shove the light gun through that fucking glass tube? But obviously, at the time, I was a little kid, and I wasn't strong enough, so it wasn't going to happen. I can do it now.
It was crazy. Like, there were so many times where I'm like, I know I shot that duck. And then you're already pissed, and then that stupid dog comes up laughing. And
he's
like,
vee, 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 vee. And you're like, I'm going to fuck. If I could kill you, dog, and get away with it, and have them not look at me as a weird 10-year-old kid, I would. But fuck you.
But man, what a system. I still have my... Well, my sister has mine right now. She borrows the damn thing every year on her birthday.
And then so I get she it has it like, every year on her birthday leading up to her birthday, which means she probably still has it from last year.
No. She'll get it on her birthday, hold it hostage for like 6 or 7 months, and then I'll get it back for like a couple months, and then she'll be asking for it back for her birthday.
Well, if she holds on to it for 6 or 7 months, you don't have it for a couple because there's 12. You know what? This isn't a math episode. Continue.
A couple doesn't have to be two.
Well, a couple. That's subjective. What is it? No, shut up. A couple means what?
As many as
you... No, it doesn't. That's a few or more.
All right, then I have it for a few months.
That's better. Thank you.
What the hell's happening?
Look,
when's the last time you played that system?
Go take a nap, all right, dude.
You look like you're about to fall asleep there, Papa.
That's what happens when you're fucking like 50. When you're born before 1983 and you see fucking Jaws 3D and fucking, not concert. I was about to say in concert. Andy, move your fucking microwave, dude. It's fucking reaching me over here. Fuck.
God. They were right.
Golly.
When is the last time either of you played that system? Has it been a long time? NES.
Either me?
I mean, yeah. I think the last time I played on the Switch, but other than that, like, I mean, do you know the actual system? Nah, I haven't touched the actual
last
system.
Time I played, I think it was at your crib when we played fucking Contra. Or Super Contra. Wait, what did you have? Contra or Super?
I had both. Well, I had everything. I had the Contras for the NES, and I had the Super, and I had the Super Contra for for Contra, whatever the
fuck. Yeah, we were rolling out Contra.
But I forgot that they do have the NES emulator on the Switch, which I do play every now and again. Never play Legend of Zelda again. Fuck that shit. That game can fuck off forever. But so that's the fucking NES, baby. We worked a long ways to fucking get here, and
the mothership.
There's nothing to get to the mothership. Anthony's right, and my goodness, where do we go from here?
So to bigger and better things.
No.
Did we talk about the Genesis yet? That's going to be coming up.
Or whatever it was.
So we got the Genesis going to be coming up. I mean, look, we could go any route possible here because if you think about it, the next 4 to 5 systems are iconic. I mean, so if you think about it this way, right, from the NES on, everything is almost, well, at least for us because we were alive through it, is iconic. You have the Super Nintendo, you have the Sega Genesis, you have the Sega Saturn, you have the Sega CD, you have, what was the other one that was like the fucking CD Joan. I never played it.
Sega CD?
No, I just said that.
And I mean, Sega GameCube, Saturn. But that was later.
That was much later. That was early.
GameCube is the shit. Yeah, GameCube's good. GameCube.
GameCube. Hello. Welcome to watching me play GameCube. My name is Andrew. And I will be here all night.
Okay.
Sounds like a little... Good night, y'all.
Jesus Christ.
All right, y'all. So how about we go ahead and let everybody know where they can find us? It is that time for you to connect with CGC. We have our website, which is consolegamingcrew.com, or our email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @consolecrew, easiest place to find us. Our YouTube and Instagram are both consolegamingcrew. And like you heard in the beginning of the episode, if you want to check out anything that has to do with gaming, cosplay, just entertainment, whatever you need, you're going to find it with Boss Rush Network at bossrushgames.com. Be better. I also want to talk about our Twitch, which is CGC Podcast. We stream Monday nights and Friday nights. Monday nights, I do a co-op stream with some of my friends, Mike from the Twisted Cape and my boy Hob and Dan, and we run Battle Rock Galactic or Back for Blood. You know what I mean? Anything 4-player, really. And then Friday nights, it's either going to be Freaky Friday or it is going to be Fun Friday, being fucking around with a little bit of chill, enjoying some time in net, you know, what's what we do. Also, I want to ask everybody, wherever you listen to us, wherever you check us out, please, please, please throw us them stars. Give us them 5 stars. Throw us them comments. Let us know. We do read this stuff. We do want to make this the best entertainment for you as possible. So please let us know what we can do to make it better. And yeah, man. Glad that we all are back together again.
Yeah.
While Andy is
mouth fucking my microphone.
My mustache itched.
That's not a mustache. Stop. Wesley has a mustache. I have a mustache.
I just
you
got done cleaning
have
my
pubic
face
hair
up.
On your upper lip. Shut up.
You got the stinkiest looking mustache I've ever seen.
I do. I do. And it's fucking magical.
I feel like it's fucking smells like toilet water.
It might. It might. You might so be right.
With all,
you might be
it
right.
Must with all that bullshit that escapes your lips.
No. Just shit.
So until next time.
Love each other.
We ask y'all to please stay safe. Wash your hands. Mask up. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all.
Grow
and always.
Your mustaches.
Game on.
Game on.
Game on, y'all be good.